A well-known Christian writer, Sue Monk Kidd, was pregnant with her second child. When her three-year-old son, Bob, was afraid one night, she tried everything to calm him down. She tried leaving a light on in the hall and a nightlight on the little boy's room, but nothing she did helped, and he still was scared of the dark and would cry out in the middle of the night for his mommy and daddy. But one night, she held him against her to comfort him, and he touched her tummy, which was round. Of course, she was pregnant. And little Bob said, "Mama, is it dark inside where my little brother is?" And he was convinced that his yet unborn sister would be a boy, so it turned out to be a girl. "Yes," his mama said, it is dark in there." And as Bob thought it through a little bit, he said, "He doesn't even have a single nightlight, does he?" "No, he doesn't, not even a little nightlight." Then he hugged his mom as she patted him on the head, and both had one more question for another for that night. "Do you think my brother is scared all by himself?" "I don't think so," she said, "because he's not really alone. He's inside of me." And it was a really important moment for her, between a mother and a son, and suddenly she had this inspiration. She says, "It's the same way with you. When it's dark and you think that you're all by yourself, you really aren't alone. I carry you inside me too, right here in my heart." Now, she remembered looking at her little son's eyes and wondering if he could really grasp what she was talking about. Having nothing else to say, he just went back to bed and was soon asleep. And, you know, he never got up in the middle of the night again, scared. But, you know, children are not the only ones that get scared, not the only ones who are afraid of the night. There was once a man named Nicodemus, a high-ranking member of the Pharisees, but he was confused and he was frightened. Nothing was making sense to him, and the more he struggled to understand, the more confused and frightened he began. And when he heard about Jesus, he thought that maybe, perhaps, this young man could help him. Now, so under the cover of darkness, Nicodemus set out to find this itinerant teacher. He caught up with him on the outskirts of town. But unfortunately, Jesus really wasn't a whole lot of help. At one point in their conversation, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And Jesus was speaking, of course, of the spiritual rebirth, but Nicodemus was very practical and he was thinking of actual birth. And how can anyone be born again when they're grown up? Can they go back into their mother's womb? Nicodemus was confused, but Jesus just really wasn't seeming to make too much sense to him. And then Jesus reminded Nicodemus of the time that Moses and the children of Israel were out in the desert. Certainly, Nicodemus, a high-ranking Pharisee, would understand that illustration from the pages of the Torah. Out in the desert, some of the people of Israel were being bitten by snakes. And so some of the Israelites were actually dying from snake bites. It was a terrible problem, and so Moses went to God to ask for some help. And God instructed him, take a poisonous snake and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten should look at it, and they will live. And so Moses did what God had instructed him. He placed a snake on a pole and held it high, and when the people looked at the snake, they were healed, and no one feared snakes anymore. Nicodemus remembered the story that Jesus was referring to. In the same way, Jesus tells Nicodemus, people will one day look to the cross and live. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that those who believe in him would have eternal life. Look to the cross. That was Jesus' advice to Nicodemus, to understand in the early church. Look to the cross. And in those moments when fear seems to be getting the better of us, when we fight at the end of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it seems to be an oncoming train, the only luck that we seem to be having is bad luck. Look to the cross. That is where our hope lies. When we are discouraged, when we are down and nearly out, when we are experiencing our own dark night of the soul, look to the cross. I've often wondered why Christians wear crosses so much. I mean, a cross is not really the symbol of our faith. The resurrection is, but you can't carry an empty tomb around your neck. But when you carry a cross, This is the value in it, is it reminds you of the healing power and presence of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's why we wear them so much, as not so much a symbol of our faith, but a symbol of Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. It was a discovery that a man named Harry Teacher made. For years, Harry had been a successful publisher of books, and he was really good with anniversary books. He would put things together for churches and schools and things like that, special anniversaries. He was really good with any kind of special advertising or promotional materials and such. Everything in his life was just perfect. It was going just great, gangbusters. He had a great home, a great family. He loved his job, a solid future. And then suddenly, one day, it all collapsed when he found out that his wife was leaving him. She was in love with somebody else. The end of his world. What would he do? He was devastated. He tried to cope. Work continued with his life, but the tragedy was just too overwhelming. And a few days after his wife was gone, he began to reflect upon his life. His marriage was ending in divorce. He must have been at fault somehow. Where had it all gone so wrong? And despite all the other positives in his life, all the good things that were going for him, he felt to himself to be a complete failure. Nothing would ever be good enough to live for anymore. And so he was on the road traveling to a church for a meeting to talk about some anniversary or something and explain the layout for their publication. But he arrived early on a hot summer day, and instead of going into one of the Sunday school rooms, he found a nice cool room down in the fellowship hall where he could just sit there by himself. And suddenly, as he was sitting there, he thought about killing himself. I mean, his life was over. Everything was finished. He sat at the table. He began to cry. He held his head in his hands, and he just wept. And the more he was convinced that his life was ended, he could continue no more. He was a beaten man, and it would be so easy to give up and end it all. But then he looked up in total despair. He noticed that there was a faded poster on the wall depicting was the image of a man. And in that same total despair, he was experiencing head in hands and in complete anguish. And as he looked at the poster, he noticed a smaller image in the lower corner of three crosses portrayed there on a hill, surrounded by an ashen sky. And beneath the center cross, these simple words were written, "I know how you feel. I've been there myself." He stared at the words and made him fall to his knees, and he prayed, "God, help me." And suddenly he felt the power of the Holy Spirit coming onto him, and it changed him completely. He rose up, he promised himself, "I'm going to beat this. I can do this. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." And after that prayer, he got up to his feet. He went on with his life. Eventually he went to seminary, became a pastor, and wrote this great story. Are you in pain? Is this how you feel? Are you like Harry? Are you like Nicodemus? Look at the cross. Draw your strength from Christ. Jesus is saying to you this morning, "I know how you feel. I've been there myself." Look at the cross. That's our first word for this morning. And the second has to do with what we find on that cross. At the cross, we encounter love in its purest form. The story of Nicodemus does not end with the allusion to the serpent in the wilderness. Jesus has a message for Nicodemus and for all of us. It was to the hurting Nicodemus that Jesus spoke the words from John's gospel that we all love, that every sporting event that you go to, somebody's holding up mama's best sheet, but they've written John 3:16 on it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Let this roll over you. God so loved the world. God didn't so love Presbyterians. God didn't so love Christians. God didn't so love Americans. God loved the world so much that he gave his son that whoever believes in him would live. Jesus was trying to move Nicodemus from a life of law into a life of love. He was trying to impress on Nicodemus the extravagance. It is an extravagance of grace. He was trying to tell Nicodemus that God's devotion to his children is beyond all measure. It is love in its purest form. There's a wonderful story about Bedouin culture. Bedouin in Aramaic is the name for what they give to desert dwellers, the Bedouins. They live out of much as the characters of the Old Testament did, and they still do. I did a trip to the Middle East and visited in a Bedouin camp, and things haven't changed very much. The hospitality rules still apply, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But during a heated argument back some time ago, according to this story, a young Bedouin struck and killed a friend of his, knowing that the ancient, inflexible outcome of his people. The young man fled, running across the desert under the cover of darkness, trying to find someplace safe. He went into the black tent of a tribal chief in order to seek his protection. The old chief took the young man in. The chief assured him that he would be safe until the matter could be settled legally. And the next day, the young man's pursuers caught up to him, demanding that the murderer be turned over to them. They could see that justice would prevail in this matter. "But I have given my word," protested the chief. "But you don't know who he killed," they said. "I have given my word," he said. "He killed your son," they said. And the chief was so deeply and visibly shaken by this, all he could do was stand there and look at the ground for quite some time. And all of the curious onlookers were holding their breaths just to see what he would do. What would happen to this young man? And finally, the old man raised his head. "Then he shall become my son, and everything that I own will become his." The young man certainly did not deserve that, did he? That kind of generosity. And that, of course, is the point. Love in its purest form is beyond our comprehension. No one can merit, no one deserves the love of God. It is agape. It is a gift from God. Look to the cross. At the cross, we encounter love in its purest form. And one thing more, in the cross, we can find healing and life. Billy Graham tells of a meeting with a young man in one of his crusades. The young man was in a wheelchair, and he'd gone to every kind of healer that you could imagine, and nothing was working. And it was very obvious that his time on earth was not very long. And what it did, of course, instead of inspiring him to live well, it made him just bitter and uglier, and it was a horrible situation for him and his parents. But his parents loved him dearly, and took him to all of these different faith healers and such. And like I said, nothing was working. But he came to the crusade, and it was the last crusade of its type that he would ever attend. And the speaker there was Joni Erickson. Do you all remember her? Yeah, I see your heads shaking, those of us who are of an age, remember her. She was Joni Erickson Tada. She, at the age of 17, was in a horrible car accident. A diving accident. And she was injured and in a wheelchair the rest of her life. She prayed for healing, yet she remained confined to a wheelchair as a quadriplegic. And sitting there in that wheelchair, she talked about her heart to the people at the crusade. She confessed her early anger at remaining crippled after praying and praying and praying, believing that a miracle would occur. But a miracle did not take place in her life like she thought, though one that she had been praying for, not that one, but another one did. Instead, God met her in her pain and gave her life new meaning and a new direction in spite of all of her suffering and disappointment. Her honesty on her, the way that she tried to deal with it, really touched that young man. He was able to let go of his bitterness and his anger. He stopped seeing himself as one who did not have enough faith. Instead, he came to see Christ in a new way, and not long after that, when he passed away, but his parents said they were able to finally rejoice because he died and he was not angry, he was not bitter, he just gave his life back to his loving Father. He was set free from the dark night of the soul, and then he experienced healing and new life. Look to the cross. See there a love in its purest form. See there healing and life. And when we look to the cross, we discover a God who loves and cares so deeply for each and every one of us, a God who carries us right near his heart. Sue Monk Kidd said it well to her three-year-old son, Bobby. I carry you inside me and right here in my heart. So it is with God. First, God was only up there, she explained. Then God was all around. Next, I began to see that God was also within me. And now, most shockingly of all, she says, I have found out that I am and always was within God. Let us pray. Our Father, that is what we seek. All of us here today suffer in some way. We need healing in our lives, sometimes physical, sometimes mental, sometimes relational. It's too much to list, but you know all of it. And so we look to the cross, and there we see that love that will not let us go, a love that we do not merit, but yet a love that is given to us freely out of grace. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the healing that comes with that, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.